An environmental problem of a whole different order has got scientists and policymakers around the world contemplating drastic measures. They fear that governments aren't doing enough to cut the pollution that's contributing to climate change. So they're considering something they call geoengineering. They're exploring technologies that could cool the planet and avoid the catastrophes that a warmer Earth might suffer. But the possibility of massive climate interventions is raising big ethical and geopolitical concerns. Here's the world's Alex Galifant.
Now is the winter of your discontent. Above you, the weather is changing.
It sounds like an evil plot, deliberately changing the global climate.
The weather is no longer in God's hands, but in mine.
And at first glance, you'd think geoengineering would be the domain of evil cranks and megalomaniacs.
Figures on the edge of science.
But Eli Kintish actually met a few would-be geoengineers while writing his book, Hack the Planet.
And unfortunately, they were clear-thinking, responsible, highly cited scientists, some of the giants in the field. And that's really scary.
Then again, many consider these scary times. We're already conducting a massive, unintentional geoengineering experiment by injecting millions of tons of heat-trapping pollution into the atmosphere.
We've departed on a trip to some unknown future.
Journalist Diane Dumanoski wrote about climate change and geoengineering in her book, The End of the Long Summer. She doesn't see any easy way back from the climate crisis humanity has created for itself.
A lot of scientists think that we've entered the time of desperate measures, which is why geoengineering has basically come out of the closet.
Indeed, geoengineering was recently the subject of a report published by perhaps the most august science academy in the world, Britain's Royal Society. Climate scientist John Shepherd led the study. He says the geoengineering closet holds two main choices.
One which attempts to cool the planet slightly by reflecting a small percentage of sunlight back into space.
That could mean building arrays of mirrors in space or injecting reflective particles into the stratosphere.
And the others which approach it from the other end and try and actually remove the greenhouse gases that are causing the problem.
Think massive forests of artificial trees, rocks that suck up CO2, or devices that scrub the air.
This is the world we're moving towards, where we can make choices about the planet, about the most large-scale and fundamentally important things that you can imagine.
That's Scott Barrett of Columbia University's Earth Institute. He's an economist, so he thinks about action on climate change in terms of incentives. Barrett says one of the reasons it's been so hard for countries to reduce their climate pollution so far is that the incentives are all wrong.
When one country reduces emissions, all countries benefit. The country that pays the cost gets a tiny fraction of the benefit.
But the incentives to use geoengineering might be different.
This can be done by a single country on its own.
Let's say temperatures are going up in one discrete part of the world, India, for example, and agriculture there is suffering. And now let's say there's a geoengineering technique that might bring temperatures down again.
Then the pressure on the government of India to act would be, I think, very powerful.
But a positive for one country, India in this case, might well be a negative for another. You make it rain here, you might cause drought there. You cool it down in one place, you might heat it up in another. So India's action might not be okay with other countries. And that kind of disagreement could lead to a geoengineering arms race.
They might be able to take measures to counteract the geoengineering that India might contemplate, for example. Or they might even contemplate military action.
That's why Scott Barrett invokes the idea of mutual restraint when talking about geoengineering, much like arms negotiators talk about mutual restraint in the use of nuclear weapons.
You actually want countries not to do something they're inclined to want to do. So a big part of the problem is not at all technical, it is institutional. How can we control ourselves?
Right now, there are no international institutions or rules specifically tailored to geoengineering. But even if the world does agree to use geoengineering only when it's in the interest of many countries, that still wouldn't solve the dilemma. Who gets to decide whether to use it at all?
Who gets to not only decide whether to use it, but what the temperature ought to be? The global mean temperature. Who gets to decide that?
global institutions tend to move pretty slowly. So for the moment, scientists are setting their own rules. And along with some governments and even for-profit companies, they're now talking about testing various technologies. And that's the immediate challenge. What limits should there be on even tests of geoengineering techniques? After all, we won't know if they work unless we test them. But we also can't be certain what the results will look like.
It's a game of poker.
That's why author Diane Dumanowski cautions against expecting geoengineering to fix things.
Because we don't know if it's going to really be a card that we can play. We better hope that we've got a lot of different cards to play, because we're going to need to play them all.
Gentlemen, shut down, please.
Most of the world has so far avoided playing the highest value card, reducing greenhouse emissions.
Flush, ace, king, queen.
At last winter's climate summit in Copenhagen, many countries pledged to do that and to help other countries do the same. But there were no firm commitments. No new cards were actually played. Now, look into the future and assume one of those other countries has the ability to geoengineer the climate.
A higher full house.
That would be a powerful bargaining chip.
It's full of sixes.
And Copenhagen-style negotiations would suddenly look a whole lot more interesting. For the world, I'm Alex Galifant.
So, what's your take on geoengineering? Should we try a technological fix to climate change? You can find out more about the possible techniques, and you can join a conversation with one of the people you just heard in Alex's story, Scott Barrett of Columbia University's Earth Institute. He's our guest in this week's World Science Forum. Just click on theworld.org/science. The conversation is live now.